Okay, then the next one, please.
Frustration, not being able to accomplish all the things that must be done. Solution, cutting down on responsibility.
And staying on course by being better organized.
Okay, the frustration is not being able to accomplish all the things that need to be done. That's the frustration. I'm sure we all share that frustration. Answer, cut down the number of things we need to do, develop priorities, and be more organized. That's efficiency. Somebody says, that won't work for me. Other people say, well, that's what I do. Priorities, what is important? What do I need to do first before I do these other things? Next one, please.
The frustration is the joys I had before I'm not able to do because of my problem.
The frustration.
The joys I had before I am not able to do because of my problem causes frustration. The solution to my problem, I decided to, according to my priorities, to do the simple items first and to calm my frustration and to lay aside the complicated items to a later day.
Very similar idea. The frustration is I'm, because of my condition, I'm not able to do all of the things that I would like to do for the joy of it. The solution, cut down on the number of things that I need to do. Do the easy ones first. Postpone those more difficult things for a later time, perhaps for a time when you're feeling better.
My inability to get programs that are in place to work effectively at helping people. And the answer to her was that, to increase knowledge base, to increase public awareness of problems.
Okay, this frustration is I have all these things in my heart that I want to do for people, but I don't have programs to do it. And the answer to that frustration is, well, disseminate knowledge, spread the word, and let evolution improve my frustration by creating these programs that will help solve these problems. Next one.
Impositions made by so-called friends and the responses, accept matters calmly by rationalizing why they occur.
Very good. The frustration, impositions made by so-called friends. Answer, rationalize these problems, deal with them, figure out what's important, put it in perspective, I think is the answer to that frustration. A couple more. Yes, sir, please.
Getting along with people and the correction, be more careful who I get mixed up with.
How true it is. Frustration, getting along with people. Solution, watch out who you get mixed up with. Yes, sir.
The frustration is everything takes too long. The solution is simply take more time. I think what the party is saying, be willing to take more time.
Yeah, the frustration that we all face is there's not enough time. Everything takes longer than we think. Solution, slow down. Take more time. I tell that to my secretary, you know, every week. I said, now look, Jeannie, what I want you to do is put in an extra day between Thursday and Friday, and every day put in an extra hour between 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll be okay. Couple more, then we'll continue.
My husband's sneaking cigarettes while he's a COPD patient.
Ooh.
Smoke.
Great. Frustration. My husband smoking cigarettes when I know he's a COPD patient. Solution. Let the bastard smoke. The next one, please.
Problem. Finding a hurry to do ordinary household duties and not take so long to accomplish things. Not to sit down and rest so often, so you get your second breath. The answer is try to allow more time and not give up so soon. Keep going till each job is done.
Again, some of the same theme, frustration, not being able to get all of the day's work, the housework done within the allotted time. Solution? Set fewer tasks for yourself. Be satisfied with getting each thing accomplished by itself. Don't worry that it doesn't all get done that day. Couple more, then we're going to quit.
Problem is retired too early, and the solution is donate my services to a good cause.
Be a volunteer.
Okay, the frustration was retiring too early. How true. The solution? All right, donate my services to some other useful cause. Excellent.
This one is not able to breathe as well as I would like. And the solution, get in better physical shape and avoid infections.
Okay, the frustration, not being able to breathe as well as I would like. The solution, get in better condition. Participate in a pulmonary rehabilitation program. Learn breathing training and conditioning. The solution, use your resources better than you have been. Be nice to yourself. Give yourself a chance. Yes.
The frustration is the unexpected, and the solution is stay calm.
The frustration is the unexpected. The solution? Don't sweat the small stuff. Stay calm.
Dr. Petty, I've been handed some more cards and been asked to read them. The first frustration on the list is difficulty in getting up in the morning, physically and emotionally. The solution? Diaphragmatic breathing, per-slip breathing. The second frustration, ran out of oxygen because of a faulty gauge. Solution? Take backup, stay calm, and do your per-slip breathing. Next frustration, fear of having to handle emergency situations alone. The solution? Line up list of agencies and people to call and keep it next to the phone. And the last frustration is fear of the unknown. The solution? Alter your thinking pattern, change the things you can, and accept the rest.
Excellent. One more, and then we're going to conclude.
Not having family understanding and cooperation. Try to be a don't care-ish. Be indifferent or something. Try to be don't care-ish.
The frustration is not having family understanding, and the solution is be a little bit don't care-ish. A little bit, I'm not going to take that too seriously. Is there just one more burning frustration? Yes.
I want to fire my Japanese gardener, but I'm afraid to make him lose space. And they don't have a solution because I don't know what to do.
The frustration. I want to fire my doctor, but I don't want to make him. See, that's a Freudian slip, isn't it? Let's try it both ways. The frustration, I want to fire my gardener, but I don't want him to lose face. The solution, there isn't any. I think that's important because sometimes there isn't a solution to a frustration. Now, let me do the one on the doctor. The frustration, my doctor. The answer is communicate with him and see if you can develop an accommodation with the problem. Because you may well be frustrated with your doctor. By the way, he may be frustrated with you. And if you'll simply talk and interact humanly as we are doing, usually you can resolve the problem. Well, I really appreciate everybody participating. This was largely an experiment for me. But you see, what you did is you played the game. And that's the way you begin to solve life's either small or large problems, the things that seem to get in our way. Now, when something seems to get in your way, I have the following advice for you. Something comes up, you've heard something, you've been told something, maybe you even read something, the first question you should ask yourself is it a fact? Is it really a fact what I've been told, or did I just imagine it, or am I only worried about it? In other words, question number one, is it a fact? The next question is it important? Now, it may be a fact, but it may be of absolutely no importance if you just think about it for a little bit. So the first question is it a fact? The second question is it important? Now, the third question is, and by the way, the first two have to be yes. Is it a fact? Yes. Is it important? Yes. What should I do about it? And that's where you use your judgment and your years of experience. And then you break that down into two component parts. What can I do? And then, what should I do? Now, sometimes what can you do and what should you do may be two different things. Sometimes the answer is nothing. So think about that for a minute. Is it a fact? Is it important? What should I do about it? And what can I do? And what must I do? Is probably even a better way to express it. Now, those are extremely simple things. Some of these are based upon my own philosophy and my own way of coping with problems. I'm particularly pleased that no one listed as a frustration worry. Yet probably if you think about it, that may be one of your frustrations. You know, a wise man once said, he said, there are 2 days in the week that I never worry about. Yesterday and tomorrow. Excellent philosophy. You know, the reason why worry kills so many people, in fact, the reason it's well known that worry kills more people than work is because more people worry than work. What is worry, after all? Well, worry is interest paid on trouble before it happens. Again, the same stepwise philosophy of dealing with things as they come, day by day, which is part of your rehabilitation program of coping with whatever problem you have, with any breathing problem that you may have. Well, back to Harry Truman. As I said in my introduction, this is Harry Truman's birthday. And Harry Truman was known as the buck stops here. And that's true with your frustrations. You know, they stop with you and your own personal reaction to them, your own personal coping mechanisms with them. The buck stops with you. And that's why I cited one of the great presidents of the past, because it seems appropriate at the time. You are all autonomous individuals, autonomous human beings. You're guaranteed the right to privacy. You're guaranteed the right to self-determination. You're guaranteed the right to be yourself. And in that context, being yourself, understanding yourself, asking yourself, why do I feel the way I feel? What are the problems? Are they important? What am I going to do about them? What can I do? What must I do? What should I do? You'll figure it out for yourself and solve your own frustrations. Thank you very much for interacting with me this afternoon.
Dr. Petty will answer any questions if anybody has any in the audience. Question?
Who writes the material?
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that yesterday was probably the most frustrating day of my life, and I was really trying to get my thoughts together for this presentation, and I'm dead serious about this, and I was in my office at about 5:30 in the morning, and my associate director, Dale Brady, came in, and what I had on my desk was a group of, I had the dictionary I had a group of quotations. I had Sir William Osler's Equanimitas. I had the Holy Bible, and I had a road map. And I was quickly trying to crystallize a philosophy that I thought might be useful. During all this, I got interrupted, but when Brady came in, he says, "What in the world are you doing?" And I said, "You know, I'm trying to figure out a speech." So thanks for asking the question. Well, I think everybody's been here a lot. Oh, you do have a question, yes.
No, I just... You're trying to make us conclude that if we work on our frustrations and feel good, we're going to live a long time or something.
Well, you know, we're all, as they say, we're all trying to survive being alive. And yes, the answer to my question is that if we only... understand ourselves, and how can we if we don't think about ourselves, if we only review our own resources? We're the only ones who know how we feel about things, and we're the only one who knows what we really think. Perhaps we'll develop a systematic checklist like I offered, and yes, I do believe that that's going to make you live longer, and I think that's going to make you live happier. Now, having said that, do you know how you learn? Do you know how you live to be 100? I mean, you're not 100.
Not yet.
You know how you live to be 100? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You definitely don't overwork. You don't smoke, of course. You don't drink any liquor. You don't take anything very seriously. You never get married. You don't have any sex. You never travel. You don't really live to be 100, but it seems like it. Yes, sir.
You can live by 100 by getting by 99.
Sure. You live to be 100 by getting past 99. That's a very good point. You have to be 99 first,
yeah.
Sir. You know, I've got to tell you a story about one of my patients. She's a very wealthy lady in Denver that I'll have to leave nameless, but and she comes from a very famous family. And she asked my secretary if I'd come down to her private doctor's office and give her a complete examination. So I said, sure. You know, by the way, I like to do patient care. I do house calls, all those simple old things. And so I said, sure. So I went down to see this lady. And I walked in the room. She was 92 years old at the time. And I walked in the room, and she was as naked as the day she was born. So I said, Mrs. W., I said, you're going to get cold. I grabbed a sheet, and I put it around her, you know. And she says, I want you to examine me all over. And I said, of course I'll do that. She said, no, I don't want you to catch cold or anything, you know. And I think I was far more embarrassed than she was. And so I found her in really very, very good condition. So she says, well, now I want you to tell me how long I'm going to live. So I said, well, you know, I'm not that good at crystal balling. You know, it's important to live happy, and of course, length of life is important, but depth of life is important. Let me ask you a few questions. How old was your... Now, here, it's almost like the story I was telling you. How old was your mother when she died? And she says, 96. I said, how old was your father when he died? And she said, 95. And how long am I going to live? And I said, well, you're going to live to be 99. She said, I don't want to live to be 99. That's too long. That's too long for anybody. So I said, well, how long do you want to live then? And she thought and she thought and she thought, and she said, 98. Absolutely a true story. You see, what we obviously want to do is live as long as we can, as long as we're having fun doing it. Do you realize that the same number of people are living to be 100 today as in 1900, according to some very carefully kept statistics by the Scandinavians? Exactly the same number of people live to be 90 and 100, because, you see, there's a clock in all of us. And what we are doing is now preventing premature morbidity and mortality. So we're getting closer to as long as our clock can possibly last. In other words, 1 in 10,000 lives to be 100. Now, we don't know who that is. But you know, there's a clock in every cell of the body, and that's why cells die and are renewed. If you do tissue culture, which goes on in my institute all the time, you take a very primitive, what's called a fibroblast, a scar cell, from a very young person, like a baby. As a matter of fact, foreskin fibroblasts are the best to grow. And they'll multiply so many times and so many times and so many times and so many times, and then they die. And it's the same environment, the same cell culture, the same nutrients, everything's the same, but time runs out on these cells. If you take a cell from an older person, it multiplies fewer times and it dies. Very old person, it multiplies just a few times and it dies. In other words, all of the cells of our body are mortal. We're mortal. And do you know what kind of cell will grow forever? What kind of cell is immortal? A cancer cell. See, a cancer cell will grow forever. And isn't that an interesting philosophical point? That the only way our cells can be immortal is if they become uncontrolled in malignancy. Very, very interesting philosophical point. So, you know, the 90th Psalm says, the days of our lives shall be 70 years. But if reason of strength, they may be 80 years. And then the psalm goes on and says, and then the spirit takes wings and flies away. Now, I read that psalm every now and then because I really like that one. You know, it says, well, you know, we're going to live as long as we can, and if we're lucky and strong, we'll live longer. But we won't live forever. But we'll certainly enjoy, hopefully, to add my own philosophy to that psalm, we'll certainly enjoy the time that's allotted to us. And very much of what's going on in pulmonary rehabilitation today is simply allowing us to live out close to where the clock is set, you see, and it's set for all of us. And so that's why we want to prevent the premature problems that our society brings to us by healthy living, and if we have problems, by rehabilitation of the problems that have been laid upon us. Maybe on that philosophical note, and the hour's up anyway, I'll thank you very much for participating, and I hope to see you again.